The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We're stepping close to one of the great mysteries of our faith, its most sacred soil, its most mysterious, that God should have that inclination toward you and me and the world. I don't know how to comprehend that with my reason, only my heart, and even that is insufficient. But I shall tell you a story that in a small way may catch a glimpse of this incredible mystery. The place was Philadelphia, a naval hospital. The time was a Sunday afternoon, around 2 o'clock. It was raining outside. Inside a 50-bed ward of double and triple amputees that were brought fresh from the battlefield in Vietnam, word was brought that the bishop was coming to visit. The charge nurse burst through the swinging doors and said, "Make ready for the bishop." And there was grumbling among the Marines, 50 of them, in an open bay area. The television that was projecting the Dallas Cowboys and the Philadelphia Eagles game had to be turned off. Certain literature had to be ditched under the mattress, and sheets needed to be straightened. And then came the bishop. He was resplendent in his robes. He made a point to stop at every bedside of every Marine in that ward. And he tried to say a word of comfort or joy or just recognition to each one in those beds. But you could tell that he knew he was not coming across well at all. Finishing with the 50th bed, the bishop returned to the center of the ward, gave a benediction, made his exit. The troops were delighted to see him go. The TV went back on, and the routine resumed. But suddenly, the swinging doors opened again, and the bishop entered. This time, without a word, he traveled to the center of the ward. Without a word, he took off his vestment. Without a word, he unbuttoned his shirt, and he dropped it to the floor. Without a word, he stepped out of his trousers. Without a word, much like a department store model, he slowly turned so that all the troops could see all sides of the bishop. And what did they see? They saw a man who had an artificial leg below the knee. They saw a man who had tremendous gouges in his torso from shrapnel wounds of World War II. They saw a man who had a withered arm. Without a word, he redressed himself and made exit. Now, the conversation in that ward changed dramatically from when the first visit had taken place. For you see, the troops had just seen a symbol of great hope. Many of those troops were only 96 hours off the battlefield in Vietnam. They had stumps that were hanging raw on hooks attached to their bedposts. Their spirits had been crushed. Their bodies had been mutilated. Their girlfriends had ditched them when they heard that there was no longer a whole man for them to love. Without a word, that bishop had brought hope. He had been through the hell that they were experiencing. He was a victor. It was an incredible moment for Ward K at the Philadelphia Naval Hospital, one that those patients still talk about 25 years later. What happened there? The Word became flesh and dwelt among them. That's what happened. The sign of victory was seen. All the suffering and the pain that had gone into that moment was overcome by a sign of victory and hope. You and I live on the fresh side of Easter. The hope we have is an incredible hope brought to us by the grace of God through his dear Son, our Savior. At our baptism, sin was taken away as master of this life, and Christ became master instead. We became, as St. Paul reminds us, dead in Christ, buried with him, in order to rise to newness with him. To move among people as symbols of hope, as words of God's grace enfleshed in humans, even frail clay like us, is an incredible sort of event. To find ourselves at one with all humans, whether maimed in a war, crippled in a crash, dispirited by events, it matters little, but that we move among people who have not caught the glimpse of the great core of our faith, that God's Word took on the flesh and blood of a human being in the babe of Bethlehem's barn and grew and lived and died and rose and ascended for all human beings. What a mystery. What a thrill. In the year 1978, I was aboard a destroyer in the Mediterranean that pulled into the city of Salerno, Italy. I was there to help commemorate a 25th anniversary of the liberation of that portion of Italy by the Allied forces at the end of World War II. I was escorted to a large military cemetery, escorted by the bishop of that region. We did the ceremonial sorts of things at that occasion, and then the bishop invited me to his cathedral in Naples. He was most proud of that cathedral because it had been reconstructed, severely damaged during the World War II Allied invasions. He said, "I want you to come inside." I said, "I want to do." We walked into this beautiful, restored cathedral, and smack in the center of the transept was the statue, the corpus of our Lord. It was not in good shape. One leg was off. Deep shrapnel wounds were all over the body. An arm had been severely damaged. The head was chipped away. He said, "You're probably wondering about that statue, aren't you?" I said, "Yes." He said, "When we decided we would rebuild the cathedral, many of us thought that it would be nice to restore the corpus of Christ as well. But wiser voices in our midst said no, and they prevailed. For you see, they asked that we, as the worshiping community, would retain that damaged statue in order to remind us all every time we step into the cathedral that we are the arms and the legs and the body of Christ, incorporated by grace into the head through our baptism." Aha. Now there is a theological statement. Now there is a reminder of that which is true of us all. We are the body of Jesus Christ. We are agents of hope, servants of love, touchers and reachers of people through the Spirit's grace. Amen.